My sermon's blown all over the place. All right, well, we're in the third installment of our movie series. And last Friday, if you were here and you decided to bear the heat in this room, and if you were the one of the two or three people that were in here with me, Barb and Mike, you had to see one of my favorite movies, Groundhog Day. And if you weren't here, or if you have never seen the movie, I really encourage you to go out and see it, because it's really one of my favorite movies. It's one of the best movies out there. But to give you a little idea of what this movie is about, let's take a look at the original movie trailer for it.
It's Groundhog Day!
Groundhog time.
1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat.
Weatherman Phil Connors is spending the day in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Phil? Ned! Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show.
Bing!
Bing!
But Phil's about to find out he's not just stuck in Punxsutawney.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
He's stuck.
It's Groundhog Day!
In Groundhog Day.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Phil?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Do you ever have deja vu, Mrs. Lancaster?
I don't think so, but I could check with the kitchen.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
At first, he was a little anxious.
Phil? What?
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%.
But now,
we could do whatever we want.
He's discovering the possibilities.
Don't you worry about cholesterol?
Why?
And living life like there's
Phil?
No tomorrow.
Phil Connors!
Ned!
Because there isn't.
I am an immortal. I have been stabbed, shot, burned, frozen, electrocuted. I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god.
He's out of his gourd.
But to get what his heart wants most.
What are you looking for, Phil? A date for the weekend?
Means living this day over again till he gets it right.
Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
What a waste of time.
I studied 19th century French poetry.
La fille qui j'aimerais.
You speak French?
Oui.
Bill Murray. Andy McDowell.
To the Groundhog.
I always drink to world peace. What should we drink to?
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace.
Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
He might be okay.
Yes! Groundhog Day!
Life has a funny way of repeating itself.
What did you do today?
Oh, same old, same old.
Thought I set it up, but all right. So now, if you haven't seen Groundhog Day, you pretty much get the idea. You know, Phil is stuck in Groundhog Day every single day. Now, here's a little bit of trivia about the movie Groundhog Day. In 2006, it was added to the United States National Film Registry as being deemed culturally or historically or aesthetically significant, which means it made a major impact on who we are as, you know, as just a culture, as a people. Because of this movie, the phrase Groundhog Day has entered common everyday use as a reference to an unpleasant situation that continually repeats itself. During the movie, Phil Connors learns how to speak French, play the piano, and ice sculpt. Now, here's a little, you know, I'm adding my own little trivia thing since, you know, my wife likes to do it. How long do you think Phil Connors was stuck in Groundhog Day? And for those of you that I've told the answer, you can't answer. So,
1 year?
Anybody else? Okay, a group of geeks got together. Originally, the original director who directed this thought the story, in his mind, he thought it was 8 years. But a group of geeks got together and analyzed the entire movie and figured out that in order for him to play the piano so fluently, speak French so fluently, you know, and do everything that he's done, and with all the clues that he's given in the entire movie, things that he's said and things that he's done, Phil was actually stuck in Groundhog Day for 33 years. Yeah, 33 years. And Groundhog Day has been considered a tale of self-improvement which emphasizes the need to look inside oneself and to realize that the only satisfaction in life comes from turning outward and concerning oneself with others rather than concentrating solely on one's own wants and desires. Which brings us to the topic of this week's sermon, finding joy in our own Groundhog Days. So let's take a look at Phil Connors to see what kind of a person he is before he spends 33 years in Groundhog Day.
Someday somebody's going to see me interviewing a groundhog. I think I don't have a future.
I think it's a nice story. He comes out. He looks around. He wrinkles up his little nose. He sees his shadow. He doesn't see his shadow. It's nice. People like it.
You are new, aren't you? You know, people like blood sausage, too. People are morons.
Nice attitude.
I can't stay here.
Oh, prima donna.
What's the matter, Phil?
I hate this place. I stayed here 2 years ago. I was miserable. It's a flea bag. I'm not staying here.
You're not staying here.
I'm not?
No. Larry's just dropping me off. I booked in a very nice bed and breakfast in Cherry Street.
Love it.
Great. You know, I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
Anything I can do?
Morning.
Morning.
You off to see the groundhog?
Yes, I am.
Do you think it's going to be an early spring?
I'm predicting March 21st.
Oh, good guess. You know, I think that actually is the first day of spring.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
I slept alone, Mrs. Lancaster.
Would you like some coffee?
I don't suppose there's any possibility of getting an espresso or a cappuccino this morning, is there?
Oh, I really don't know.
How to spell espresso and cappuccino. This looks fine.
I hope you enjoyed the festivities.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to.
There's talk of a blizzard.
Well, we may catch a break, and that blizzard's going to blow right by us. All of this moisture coming up out of the south, by midday, is probably going to push on to the east of us. And at high altitudes, it's going to crystallize and give us what we call snow. Probably be some accumulation. But here in Punxsutawney, our high's going to get up to about 30 today. Teens tonight, chance precipitation about 20% today, 20% tomorrow. Did you want to talk about the weather, or were you just making chit-chat?
Chit-chat.
Okay. All right, see you later. Bye-bye.
Where have you been?
It was horrible. A giant leech got me.
You're missing all the fun. These people are great. Some of them have been partying all night long. They sing songs till they get too cold, and then they go sit by the fire and they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Yeah, they're hicks, Rita. So, you sleep okay without me? You tossed and turned, didn't you?
You're incredible.
Who told you?
Okay. It's groundhog time.
Come on. All the long-distance lines are down. What about the satellite? Is it snowing in space? Don't you have some kind of a line that you keep open for emergencies or for celebrities? I'm both. I'm a celebrity in an emergency. Can you patch me through on that line, please? Wow, Larry. Looking foxy tonight, man. Hey, is your troop going to be selling cookies again this year?
That's so funny, Phil.
So what are you going to do?
So, not the real traits of a happy guy, I don't think. Here's what I noticed about Phil. I think he's pretty self-centered. I am not staying here. He barely even recognizes the old man as he walks by, the man asking for money. He's arrogant. I'm predicting March 21st. He's pretty judgmental. People are morons. They're hicks, Rita. He's pretty dissatisfied with his life. You know, I don't want someone to see me interviewing a groundhog. He's demeaning. Do you even know how to spell espresso or cappuccino? He thinks he's better than everybody else just because he's famous. Do you have a line that you keep open for emergencies or for celebrities? And he's just plain mean. Hey, looking foxy, you gonna go sell some Girl Scout cookies? Clearly, Phil is not a happy guy. From the outside, it looks like he has a pretty good life, I think. He's a weatherman. He gets to travel and stay in a nice bed and breakfast for free. And he's pretty famous. So why isn't he joyful? Clearly, his interactions with everybody around him could be improved. See, Phil's problem is that he is very inward focused. And there's only one person in the world that Phil cares about, and that's himself. The problem with this thinking is that when you expect everything to go your way, you're going to be very disappointed. Because that's not the way life works, is it? One of the things that I have to constantly remind my kids, and often myself, is that life is going to throw you some curves. Eventually, something is going to happen that wasn't part of your plan. You may be on your way to work thinking that you're on time, and oops, there's a traffic jam. You may get to work and find yourself having to leave it a little early because you were laid off, let go. You may get home and find that someone's broken into your house and stolen a bunch of personal things that were important to you. You never know what life is going to throw at you, and often we get into this mindset of how our day should go. Now, my ideal day, you know, if it were up to me, would go something like this. I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, waking up next to my beautiful wife and our two dogs, because they sleep in the same bed with us. We come downstairs and see that our boys have already decided to start entertaining themselves quietly by themselves while we slept in a little bit. The dogs follow us down, and thank God we see that they haven't chewed anything up while we were sleeping. The boys continue to play on the Xbox with each other without the slightest hint of aggravation towards one another. I take a shower and get ready for work. I kiss my family goodbye. I head to work, and I experience no traffic congestion whatsoever. In fact, every light is green on the way there. I get to work, and throughout the entire day, everything I do works just great. Being a computer programmer, I'm able to write programs that cause no problems whatsoever, and the systems that I work on run like clockwork, and there are no computer problems at all. On the way home, I get the same green lights, and I even have some friendly encounters with some of the few other drivers that are on the road with me. I get home, and my wife tells me how well-behaved our boys have been, and they got along just fine. We order a pizza because in my ideal fantasy world, that's what we do. We eat pizza. And we all play video games together. And again, nobody has any bad feelings towards one another. It's time for the boys' bedtime. And they go upstairs, brush their teeth, put on their own pajamas, and put themselves to bed without incident and without antagonizing one another. And nobody feels the need to come down every 10 minutes to tell us about something the other one did. My wife and I watch a little TV together. She gets tired, goes up to sleep, and I stay up a little bit longer to play some video games, and ultimately I go to sleep too. I don't really ask for much. I didn't put in there win the lottery. I am trying to be realistic after all. Now we all have our ideal days in mind. We all know how we want things to go for us. Now I will admit most of this stuff in my story does happen every day. My boys get along pretty well most of the time. You know, not all the time, but most. And I also have to admit that I do get annoyed if not all of these things happen from time to time. It's something that I'm constantly working on, which is probably good that I'm doing this sermon anyway, because I probably need it more than any of you. But what I want to help you realize is that discontent and anger, they both start when we don't get the things that we want or expect. I think this happens to Phil. I think that he's dwelling so much on what might have been or what he thinks should be that he completely ignores all of the good things that already are. I think we can get into this kind of mindset, this sense of entitlement. You know, I've done it. I've done it all the times. You know, all the time. I'll think things to myself like, hey, I've already had a hard life. I've been in trouble. My family's lived on welfare. I've paid my dues. Why do things like this have to happen to me now? And when things don't go like that, we'll think, you know, go the way we think they should. After a while, we can get, you know, we'll get an attitude. You're like, you know what? Fine. I'm just going to do things that I want. I'm going to do things for myself.
That was a pretty good day. Why couldn't I get that day over and over and over?
You know, some guys would look at this glass and they would say, you know, that glass is half empty. Other guys would say, that glass is half full. I think you as a glass is half empty kind of guy, am I right?
Let me ask you guys a question.
you.
What if there were no tomorrow?
No tomorrow. That would mean there would be no consequences. There would be no hangovers. We could do whatever we wanted.
That's true. We could do whatever we want.
I like to see a man of advancing years throwing caution to the wind. It's inspiring in a way.
My years are not advancing as fast as you might think.
More coffee, hon?
Yeah, just keep it coming, please.
Sure thing.
It's real nice. Just put that anywhere, pal.
Yeah. Good save.
Don't you worry about cholesterol, lung cancer, love handles?
I don't worry about anything anymore.
What makes you so special? Everybody worries about something.
Well, that's exactly what makes me so special. I don't even have to floss.
Oh.
What?
So Phil experiences this Groundhog Day event, and he's stuck there day after day. And instead of looking outward, he still looks inward and tries to find many different and unique ways to take advantage of it by doing things for himself. He eats unhealthy, steals money, spends a lot of time with different women, but all of this still leaves him feeling empty. He needs something more, and he thinks that he can find it in attempting to establish a relationship with his producer, Rita. To do this, he learns everything about her, her likes, her dislikes. He learns to speak French to try to impress her because he learns that she studied French poetry. But try as he might, all of his advances earn him humiliation and countless slaps in the face. Despondent, he tries to kill himself. But after each attempt, he finds himself still waking up at 6 a.m. every morning on February 2nd in the same place. Do you ever feel like you're just living the same day over and over again? You get up the same time. You do the same routines. You drive to the same job. Deal with the same people in the traffic. You deal with the same people when you get to work. There could be a monotony to life, and it can bring you down if you're not careful. If you don't do something about it, eventually you'll find yourself being discontent with life. You find yourself unhappy. And you'll think to yourself, as I have, when did life get so hard? I never imagined when I was younger that I would be such an unhappy person. I think some of it has to do with the way we live our lives. We're chasing after happiness in the wrong places. I think Pink Floyd has some pretty profound lyrics in their songs. If you listen to them, one of their songs called Time makes this observation about chasing after things to be happy. And you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. To find happiness, we need to see what God says and how he thinks we should have joy. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told these things to you so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You see, true joy that lasts is found in serving God and obeying his commandments. And his commandment here says that you'll be filled with joy if you love one another. In Galatians, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. In Ecclesiastes, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach and help out. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. If we remain inward focused, if we only thought of ourselves, if we attempt to just go about life doing things on our own, we'll work so much harder than if we would if we worked as one accord. Our spirit will be broken, it'll be down, it'll be tired. You know, our church has only been open since November, but I'm seeing so many ways that we bear one another's burdens. People help to close down after services are over. Hint, no. I see people helping each other out and reaching out to others. I see people encouraging one another. It's infectious, I think. It's even spreading to the kids. True joy comes from asking God to search our hearts to see how he can improve us and by helping and encouraging one another. You know, Phil has lived day in, day out in the same drab day. In some ways, we're living in our own Groundhog Day. The days change, but our situations don't. Phil reaches a point where he realizes that he's stuck. He can't do anything about it. He's hit rock bottom, and he reaches out to Rita for help.
Okay?
Okay, that's enough. What about me, Phil? Do you know me too?
I know all about you. You like producing, but you open for more than Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Well, everyone knows that.
You like boats, but not the ocean. You go to a lake in the summer with your family up in the mountains. There's a long wooden dock and a boathouse with boards missing from the roof. And a place you used to crawl underneath to be alone. You're a sucker for French poetry and rhinestones. You're very generous. You're kind to strangers and children. And when you stand in the snow, you look like an angel.
How are you doing this?
I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it. If you still can't believe me, listen. In 10 seconds, Larry is going to come through that door and take you away from me. But you can't let him. Please believe me. You've got to believe me.
You guys ready? We better get going if we're gonna stay ahead of the weather. What's that?
We're gonna stay ahead of the weather.
This is a huge turning point for Phil. He realizes there's nothing he can do to change his situation. So he decides to make changes in himself. And he starts by treating people with respect and by learning about them and being interested in their lives. And here we'll see the outcome of that.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb.
Wants coffee. Get it while it's hot.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Larry, skim milk, 2 sugar.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Pastry.
No, we're just setting up.
Pastry, Larry, take your pick.
Thanks, Phil. Raspberry, great.
See, I was just talking with Buster Green. He's the head groundhog honcho. And he said if we set up over here, we might get a better shot. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Larry, what do you think?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Good work, Phil.
Maybe we'll get lucky. Let me give you a hand with the heavy stuff.
No, you got your coffee. Okay. Thanks.
We never talk, Larry. Do you have kids?
Did you see the surprised look on everyone's face? I mean, everybody just knows him to be a jerk, and all of a sudden here he comes, a changed person. Now, as you can see, Phil has had a major change of heart, but he still does have one major flaw to overcome. He still believes that he is in control, and that he is the one who can determine the outcome of what happens in Punxsutawney. And in the next clip, we see that Phil realizes who is really in control.
Hello, Father. Let's get you someplace warm. Yeah, remember me?
Excuse me, sir. Are you the one who brought the old man in?
Mm-hmm. How's he?
Well, he just passed away.
What did he die of?
He was just old. It was just his time.
I want to see his chart. Excuse me.
Sir. Sir, you can't come in here. Sir, this is a restricted area.
Where's the chart?
Sometimes people just die.
Not today. It's hard down there at the bottom.
Here you go.
Thank you. Come on, Dad. Come on, Pop. Come on, Pop. Come on, come on. Come on, breathe. Breathe, Pop. Breathe!
Looking up, this is the point where Phil realizes he's not in control. Phil Connors is a man who once looked inward, but now looks out. And in this scene, we can see that not only is he looking out, but he's looking up, too. I like to think that from here on until the end of the movie, Phil now looks up. He knows that true happiness comes from aligning his will to God's will. And God's will for us is to serve him by serving others. Remember earlier when I said that our wants drive our happiness? When our wills are aligned with God's will, then we will experience true joy because God's will always come to fruition. Phil's situation doesn't change. He's still in Punxsutawney on the same cold day. Nothing he experiences every day changes at all. What does change is his priorities. What does change is his attitude towards others. What does change is his heart. What does change is his belief that he's in control. What does change is his perspective, the way he looks at things. And because all of this, what does change is that he's happy and he's the person that God intended him to be.
I'm getting cold. How much longer do I have to sit here?
I'm just trying to give you your money's worth. You paid top dollar for me.
Well, I think you were a bargain.
That's what do you say? You're probably right.
Is it finished yet?
Almost. I still have to put some cherry syrup on the top and then we can eat it.
Come on, Phil. I'm freezing.
One second. All right. Now let me turn on the light.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. How did you do that?
I know your face so well, I could have done it with my eyes closed.
It's lovely. I don't know what to say.
I do. No matter what happens tomorrow, for the rest of my life, I'm happy now because I love you.
I think I'm happy too.
I think for me, I can see different places where I've existed in this movie. I've been the kind of person that treats people terrible because I've been inward focused. I've had an attitude of, hey, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm just going to do what I want. I've had times where I've gotten so discouraged where I just wanted to give up. I've had moments where I've thought I've been well on top of my spiritual walk, but then realized that I haven't submitted control of my life to God. And I've had moments of true happiness, and those were the times when I was serving God and his people. Can you see yourself in this movie? I want you to ask yourself today, where am I in this movie? Am I happy? What can I do to experience God's joy? I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that wants us to be happy. We thank you that you give us a way to true happiness, and that is through first submitting our lives to your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us, and then through the serving of each other. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on you so that we may know your will. Because, Lord, it is written in your word that happiness is following your will. Help us to know your will for our lives so that we can all experience the abundant joy that you have intended for each of us. It's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.